I'm Pastor Ryan. Welcome to the Edge Church. So great to have you. And today we're all excited because we're kicking off this new teaching series called Never Give Up. And I hope that you'll be here over the next few weeks. We've really committed these messages to inspire hope in every person that's here that's ready to give up. Maybe you're ready to give up on a marriage, or you're ready to give up on a career or a job, or maybe even your faith. Maybe you're ready to give up on trying to break that addiction that just keeps sucking you back in. God wants us to develop this spirit that never, never, never gives up. And sometimes we look through the history of our lives and we ask ourselves the question, why did this happen to me? Or how did I get here? Or why did I have to go through that? But God, in a very unusual way that can only really be understood by the Lord, takes the pieces of our lives and crafts them together into an amazing way. And when you came in, you were handed a little piece of the puzzle. Let me invite everybody to pull that out. Everybody pull your piece of the puzzle out. Look at that just a moment. When it comes to our lives, many times we see one piece of the puzzle. That's all that we see, is just that one piece. But what God sees is not just the one piece. He sees the whole picture. He sees the whole thing connected together. And you know, every piece of your life is connected to another piece of your life. That's why the choices that we make are so important, isn't it? But God sees the big picture. God sees the grandiose, the panoramic view, all pieces connected together. And when we begin to see life from God's perspective, then the pieces of the puzzle make sense, because sometimes all we see is this one little situation or this one little scenario or this one little struggle that I'm having, but God sees all of it together. And you know what? No two pieces of the puzzle are exactly the same. They're all a little bit different, but when they are woven together, we see the divine picture of God that He has for our lives. And I believe this is best articulated in the life of Moses. Moses is a man that had a complicated life. There was a lot of pieces to his puzzle, and many times Moses did not have all the pieces of the puzzle when he was looking at his life. In fact, I've got preschool kids, and we do puzzles sometimes, and it seems like there's always a few pieces of the puzzle that are missing, right? And it's so frustrating when you're trying to put a puzzle together and you don't have all the pieces. But listen, in the life of faith, when we walk with the Lord, many times we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. That's why we trust Him. God has the pieces of the puzzle. What we do is we work with the pieces of the puzzle that God has given to us to understand what's going on in our lives. But Moses had this complicated background. He was a man that was born into a Hebrew family, but he was raised as an Egyptian. He has kind of a biracial background. He didn't really fit in with the Egyptians. He didn't really fit in with the Hebrews. He was kind of acquainted with all but associated with none in kind of a weird way. In fact, what was going on during the time of the Exodus, the Hebrew people are being enslaved by Pharaoh. They had been slaves for hundreds of years, and the population continued to grow and to grow and to grow, and it made the Pharaoh nervous because there were so many Jews that were being born. And so Pharaoh made a law that said that all Hebrew boys had to be murdered. They would give birth, they would throw the babies into the Nile River. They were practicing infanticide there in the ancient world. And this mother wanted to make sure that her little baby boy was not just a statistic. And so she kept the boy in secret, nursed him until he got a little bit bigger, and then put him in a basket and sent him down the river along with his big sister to kind of watch out for the little baby that is kind of coasting down the river there. And in the providence of God, Moses, this little infant, this baby, is drawn out of the water by the daughter of Pharaoh. She chooses to adopt the baby. And in such a clever moment in Scripture, in the book of Exodus, the big sister jumps out of the reeds and says, "Would you like for a Hebrew to nurse the baby until he's old enough to come and live in the palace?" And she's like, "That's a genius idea. You know, how did you think of that? How did you know what I needed?" And so, and only the genius of God could come up with a plan like this, but Moses is actually raised by his birth mother. in the early years of his life till he gets bigger to go to the palace. And there, in the home, he learns the Hebrew faith. He learns about the God of the Jews, the God of Abraham, the God that was the faith of the Hebrew people. And so Moses has this interesting background. He grows up learning about Jehovah God, the real God. But then when he gets a little older, he moves to the palace and he grows up in the culture of the Egyptians. So he's educated as an Egyptian. He has all of the wealth and affluence of an Egyptian. He has tremendous training. And the Egyptian people at this time were some of the most sophisticated in all the world. I mean, we're talking about the pyramid people, smart people. Moses is learning trigonometry and algebra and politics and all these things that only the very, very elite would learn about. But all the way, Moses' heart is really not into it because he knows he's really a Hebrew. And he resented and he hated the fact that the Egyptians beat and took advantage of his own people and were so brutal. And so one day at the age of 40, Moses begins to makes a poor choice that we'll get to in just a minute. He's had it all the way up to here. He can't take it anymore. His people are being brutalized. But before we get to that, I want to back up just a second, because in order to develop this spirit that never gives up, we have to, number one, let our upbringing shape us. Let our upbringing shape us. Many times we look at our upbringing and there's things we don't like about how we were brought up that we sometimes resent or we don't like. But did you know God will use how you were brought up? Some of us grew up in very healthy homes. Some of us grew up in very dysfunctional homes. Some of us grew up in single-parent families. Some of us grew up in families with two parents. We grew up in so many different ways. But listen, for better or for worse, God will use your family. God will use your background. Moses had this very complicated background. He had these two families, these two identities. He had the Hebrew family and he had the Egyptian family. But God's going to use that in his life. It was difficult when he was young, but it began to make more sense when he got a little bit older. In fact, Moses, you know, he was raised really with a silver spoon in his mouth. You could imagine TMZ was following Moses around as the prince of Egypt. I mean, they were always looking for some celebrity gossip. He was invited to all the parties. He was an A-lister. You know, everybody wanted to know who he was dating and what Moses was about. Moses was the man. He was like the heir apparent to the throne of Pharaoh. Everybody wanted to know what Moses thought. He had everything. He had it all. And yet there was a part of Moses that felt so disconnected. And one moment changed his entire life forever. At the age of 40, Moses sees this Egyptian guard beating a Hebrew. And he goes and he kills the guard. In fact, if you notice with me in the second chapter, it says, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were. And he watched them in their hard labor. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And looking this way and that way and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. And the next day he went out and he saw two Hebrews fighting. And he asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? And then verse 14, and the man said, who made you the ruler and the judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? And then Moses was afraid and he thought, what I did must have become known. And when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. So at 40 years old, Moses goes from the Cairo A-lister, celebrity extraordinaire, to a fugitive. Now he's running for his life. Pharaoh's after him. Pharaoh's wanting to take his life. He flees. He can't take all the clothes. He can't take the money. He can't take the stuff, the reputation. He runs out into the Midian desert, desperate. Can you imagine what that would have been like? You see, we need to let our upbringing shake us, but also our mistakes will mold us. And Moses took matters into his own hands. God was going to liberate the people, but Moses got angry and he murdered this this guard, and that wasn't the plan of God. And in spite of that, though, God used this in the life of Moses. I mean, it's amazing. God is in control of our mistakes. And this mistake that he made was one that would have great implications on his life, but God still used it anyway. Did you know God can use even the mistakes that you make in your life? God can use the failures and the mess-ups. God can still bring about good things out of that. Now, we ought to be more careful about what we do. We have to live with what we do. And we ought to be more careful about the choices that we make, because life is very much about the choices that we decide to make or to not make. And sometimes we make foolish choices, and there's consequences for those choices. But God still is working in the life of Moses, this fugitive, running through the Midian desert. And some of us have found this to be true. You were an alcoholic and you found the Lord, but you still got to go to rehab and clean up your act. Or maybe you're struggling with a drug addiction. And you come to know the Lord now. And you don't want to keep doing drugs, but you got to go and you got to get clean, you know. Maybe you were having sex outside of marriage and you had a child. And now you found the Lord and you don't want to do that anymore. But now the child's got to be raised. There's consequences. There's things that we have to deal with for a lifetime with the choices and the decisions that we make. And that's why it's so important that we make good decisions. But interestingly enough, running away from his past, Moses runs into his future. He runs into his future. And the uncertainties of the wilderness were something that would shape his life forever. So Moses is 40 years old when he flees Egypt. He's had 40 charmed years. And then the next 40 years of Moses' life is going to be in the backside of a desert. Man, he's going to be in a place called Midian. You want to talk about Redneckville? You want to talk about the middle of nowhere? All that stuff that Moses learned in Egypt, how to build those pyramids and all that kind of stuff, all that doesn't matter anymore. People don't care about politics. People don't care about calculus. People chase sheep around. And now Moses has to go and learn a totally different skill set from what he spent 40 years of his life. Maybe you've gone through a period in your life where you've had to start over. Moses doesn't have any of his friends. He's not in the same culture. People speak a different language. He doesn't know where he is. I mean, everything is just like whoosh, clean slate. Nobody cares about his reputation. Nobody's interested in the parties he went to back in Egypt. I mean, he is just Mr. Desert Man, you know, running around there in the Midian desert. But you know what's amazing? All the way through the scripture, when people go to the desert, that means God's about to do something awesome in their lives. Do you know that? Jesus went into the wilderness, the Judean wilderness, which is a desert, for 40 days, and he fasted. That's when God did something amazing through Jesus. After the Apostle Paul was tremendously and miraculously converted to the Christian faith, he went to the Arabian desert for 3.5 years to hear from God. And it was from there that he wrote the letters of the New Testament and went and started churches all over the Mediterranean world. Now Moses is going out into the desert. There's something about being in a desperate place. There's something about being in a place that there's no distractions. There's something about being in a place where there's nothing, where in an unusual way we can just hear from God. And God will use our mistakes, but he will also use our uncertainties. Moses finds himself in the desert. God, why am I here? What's going on? You had a plan for my life. You were doing amazing things, God, and I had this great opportunity in Egypt, but now, what am I going to do? Our uncertainties refine us. He goes from a prince to a shepherd. A prince to a shepherd. He's learning survival techniques in the desert. He's learning how to suck water out of a cactus. He's chasing sheep around. And we know that Moses was a shepherd, and you know, I'm convinced that being a shepherd is a lot like parenting preschoolers. You know, sheep bite and they don't obey. You know, they do their own thing. You know, sheep look cute like in pictures and on television and stuff like that. Sheep are nasty animals. They are ornery. They bite people. They smell terrible. This was not glorious. I mean, this was not like, woo, you know, Moses is like, I'm a shepherd. Yeah. No, I mean, this is... this is humiliating. And Moses doesn't even know how to be a shepherd because he's been in the palace his whole life. And now he's trying to shepherd these ornery sheep. And he does it for 40 years. I think it would be kind of like this if Donald Trump decided to join the Duck Dynasty crew. I mean, could you check that out? What if the Donald left? He left Trump Tower and he moved to South Monroe, Louisiana, and he drank iced tea with Uncle Cy. I mean, you know, what if the Donald was making duck calls, you know? Could you see him cutting the reeds and all that? He didn't know anything about that. He's trying to buy real estate and all that. You can just think about that a little bit. Give you something to chew on this afternoon. But that's how much of a misfit Moses was in the desert, man. I mean, it's like, how did I get here? God will use uncertainties in our lives. God was shaping his character. God was preparing Moses for something amazing in the desert. God didn't forget about Moses. God didn't abandon him. And you know that the enemy had to be in the ear of Moses saying, "Where is your God? You say you worship this amazing God of the Hebrews, and here you are wandering around in the desert. What's wrong with you, Moses? You are such a loser." Sometimes we get into situations in our lives where we wonder, how did I get here? And we don't understand what's going on. And we see the uncertainties and we get discouraged. You know what? If you're not careful, you'll get discouraged when you get into a desert. But if you'll keep pressing on and keep serving the Lord and refuse to give up, what you'll discover is God will do something amazing in your heart in the desert that he could not do otherwise. And Moses is just getting the training. He's just getting ready for what God's going to do. Pretty awesome. He had training in science he didn't need. He had to start over. He had all of these wasted skills. Maybe you've been in a job like this where you're overqualified for the job. You've got more training. There's people that are making more money than you. There's people that have more authority than you do. But for whatever reason, you're on the team, but you're in a much lower level. That's very frustrating, isn't it? So Moses is just in that moment. God uses uncertainties. When the pieces of the puzzle are not all connecting in your mind, keep serving the Lord. Keep looking to the Lord. Because God's about to show up in a huge way in the life of Moses in just a minute. And if you don't learn to be faithful with where you are, God cannot take you where he wants you to be. Sometimes it's learning to be faithful in the desert that prepares us for the destiny and the calling that God has for our lives beyond that. We get frustrated in the desert, but our faithfulness in the desert is the thing that prepares us for more. So Moses is leading sheep in the early part of Exodus. In the latter part of Exodus, God's using him to lead millions and millions of people. But listen, your past is not your destiny. Moses' past is not his destiny. It's just preparation before he gets there. And interestingly enough, Moses doesn't even step into the plan that God really has for his life until he is 80 years old. 80 years old. Most of us in this room are not 80 years old. God had a lot of polishing. God had a lot of preparing. God had a lot of developing in the life of Moses on this journey. And at the age of 80, he gets an amazing call from a burning bush. There he is tending the sheep one day, and the bush begins to burn, and the voice of God comes out, and he says, "Moses, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground." And Moses is looking around, and he sees the sheep dung, and he's like, "Man, this is not holy, you know? This does not feel holy." You know what is holy? Holy is wherever God is. When God's there, that's where the ground is holy. It wasn't the sheep dung. It wasn't the proximity. It was that God was there. And God's going to give Moses a command that's going to change the trajectory of his life for the next 40 years. He says, "I want you to go and liberate the people. I want you to get into Pharaoh's face and call him out. And you may need to do some miracles along the way, but you're going to deliver the Hebrew people from their captivity. They've been there for hundreds of years. I have heard their cry. Moses, sick them." And Moses is like, "I'm an 80-year-old shepherd. I'm not qualified, you know. Can you get somebody else? I'm not eloquent. I can't speak well. I don't know what to say or do. Moses gives every excuse in the book, and God says, Moses, you can take Aaron with you, but you got to do it, bro. I have prepared you your entire life. 80 years you have been in training. Get to Egypt. And don't you know that Moses had to have some knots in his stomach walking back to the land that he had fled and left as a fugitive, and now as an 80-year-old man going back to fulfill his destiny. You know, I love the movie The Karate Kid. Do we have any Karate Kid fans in the house? Love The Karate Kid. What a great movie. If you were born after The Karate Kid and you haven't seen it, you are missing out on some of the finer things in life. Can I just tell you that? There is a stroke of genius. You know, Daniel's son, he decides that he wants to be a karate master, and Mr. Miyagi starts to teach him. What does he have him do? He has him wax on and wax off, right? So Daniel's out doing this. You know, and he's like, oh, that's cool for about 5 minutes. But then, you know, hour after hour after hour, wax on, wax off. And he's mad about it. You're just treating me like a slave. You've got me out here doing all this hard work that you don't want to do, and I want to learn karate. And then he has him paint the fence, right? He gives him kind of the paint the fence technique, all that. Daniel is mad and angry because he's doing stuff he doesn't want to do. Little did he know that was preparing him to become the karate champion. Sometimes life is like that. God is preparing us. We're doing the wax off, wax on thing. Doesn't make any sense to us. We're painting the fence. We feel so helpless. We feel like we're in a desert. God, why am I doing this? And yet all the while, God is getting us ready. Now, my favorite move is the kick, okay? That's the best part of Karate Kid. I don't know how that works into the deal. I don't know if he was practicing that on the deck or not. But Daniel had to get ready to become a champion. And God has to develop certain things in our character. And by the way, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a long time. Again, Moses is 80 years old before he steps in to his destiny. But our victories will begin to affirm us. And Moses now is leading 2 to 3 million people in the Exodus. This is a powerful story about how he delivers the people. If you'll look with me in the 14th chapter of Exodus, the scripture says, "And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and the chariots and the horsemen." Now Moses parted the Red Sea with his staff. They've run across, and now he's going to close the Red Sea back down on them and drowned all the guys. What a strategy, huh? Verse 27, Moses stretched out his hand on the sea, and at the daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. And the water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, and not one of them survived. Verse 29, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on the right and on the left. And that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shores. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant. So God culminates all the pieces of Moses' life in this one triumphant moment. Now let's download this for just a moment. Back to his birth, Moses was born a Hebrew. He learned about Jehovah God, the real God, in the home of his mother and his father that he was raised in. And so he got a spiritual foundation from his Hebrew roots. He got a leadership education in the house of Pharaoh. There he learned leadership. He learned politics. He learned finance. He learned mathematics. He learned how to think. He was educated. Do you think for one moment that Moses could go and lead 2 to 3 million people if the only experience he would have ever had in his life was to be a slave? Probably not. It took a prince to be the leader of millions. So God uses the Hebrew experience to build his faith. He uses the Egyptian experience to build his leadership. And then he spends 40 years in Midian. That's the redneckification of Moses right there. And it's there he learns how to suck water out of a cactus. He learns survival techniques, man. He learns how to live in the desert. And God teaches him that part of his leadership experience there in the backside of the desert. He learns humility on the backside of the desert. He learns assertiveness and leadership in Egypt. God swirls it all together. Moses didn't fit in with anybody. He really wasn't a Midianite. He really wasn't a Hebrew, and he really wasn't an Egyptian. He fit with nobody, but God culminated all of those people groups, all those experiences in his life to make him the man of God and the leader that God had chosen for him to become. There's no way he could have led this entire Exodus had he not been preparing for 80 years over here and over here and over there. And then all of a sudden, God brings all of the pieces of the puzzle together to accomplish a great purpose for his name and for his glory. In Midian, he learned the street smarts. In Egypt, he learned the leadership. With the Hebrews, he learned his faith. And God used all of that together to accomplish all those things. Now, Moses was a little bit country. He was a little bit rock and roll. He had a little of this, he had a little of that. You can look back on your life, and you can see situations in your life, and you may wonder, man, why did God let me go through that? Did you know one of the reasons that we go through hardship is sometimes so we have credibility to help other people? Do you think Moses could have taken the Hebrew people into the desert if he had never been there? Moses, we want you to lead us into the desert, but we don't know where to go or what to do or how to eat or where to, you know, what is it like? Moses is like, man, I got this desert thing down. Do what I tell you to do. When you go through certain experiences, you can help people in ways that you could not otherwise. His life was complicated, but God had a divine plan. You may look at your life and go, man, why is my life so complicated? You may show up at Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners and look at your family and go, man, this is so complicated, I have a headache, you know? Trying to explain it to your kids, this is complicated. But in the genius of God, God has a plan for your life. And listen, if you curse the ground that you stand on, you'll never get to where God is taking you in the future. Sometimes we despise where we are, but it's where we are is one step in the direction that God is taking us to. And so rather than despising where we are, if we can see the divine pieces of the puzzle put together in a beautiful way, understood only by the Lord, then we can begin to walk into the destiny and the plan that God has for our lives. So don't complain where you are. These are just steps in the journey. It's not wasted. All that you've been through will not be wasted. You may have worked two jobs and cried yourself to sleep and lost everything and had to start over, but I want to tell you today, it is not wasted. It's not wasted. It's not wasted. These are all pieces of the puzzle, and they may seem like delays on the journey, but don't forget, it's not wasted. God has sent me here to tell you today, all that you've been through will not be wasted. So let's never give up. Let's just bow our hearts together for a moment of prayer today while no one's moving around for just a moment. And maybe you would say, Ryan, I want to give up. I'm tempted to give up. I'm struggling with giving up. But I want you to pray for me today because I see that God may be doing something in my life that I've never considered before. Could I just pray for you for just a moment? Would you just raise your hand wherever you are? Ryan, pray for me. Okay, right over here in the middle. Thank you. Yeah. middle right there. Somebody else, Ryan, pray for me. I want to develop an overcoming spirit. I don't want to give up. Okay, right here on the front. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Pray for me, Ryan, today. Let's just bow together and pray for each one of these. God, today we pray, Lord, that you would give us a spirit that never gives up. We look to you, God, as the one that has orchestrated our lives, although we may not understand all that we have gone through and what we have experienced. And sometimes, Lord, we have been hurt and gone through great pain. But God, our desire is to know and to serve you. And so I pray for every person that's in this room this morning that is struggling, that you would do something amazing in their lives today that would give them strength and the ability to move on and to keep serving you, to not get discouraged even if they're in a desert, God, but to keep looking to you to do amazing things. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a few more moments, maybe you've never met the God of Moses before. The God that sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross and on the third day to rise from the grave. But this morning you'd like to have him come into your heart, come into your life. You'd like to be acquainted with him. You'd like to know him. You'd like to have a relationship with him. And this morning I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I want to lead you in a prayer, a simple prayer that just says, Lord, I want you to come into my life and to make me a new person and to forgive my sins and to give me hope today. Would you like to do that this morning? Would you just slip up your hand wherever you are for just a moment if you'd like to pray and ask Christ to really come into your heart? Yeah, just slip up your hand and just say, man, today I want to commit my life to the Lord. Let me just lead us into prayer. Just say this in your own heart. Lord, please forgive my sins. Make me a brand new person as I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what he did at the resurrection, in order that I can receive new life in you. And now we pray all of these things in your wonderful name. Amen.